T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Here we go. Hour number two is underway. It is the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown, my man DJ Tim on the ones and twos, scratching it up for you today. It's phenomenal to be with you. Thank you very much for letting me be a part of your day, and thank you very much for being a part of mine. I appreciate it greatly. We've talked a lot today. The NBA's return to play plan. The NBA Board of Governors have a call scheduled for tomorrow in which they will either vote on or hopefully push forward a plan to return to the hardwood in the NBA. There are a number of plans that are being discussed, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. We will talk more about that later on in the hour. We have talked a little bit of NFL ball today, Cam Newton, and the separation from the Carolina Panthers. Marty Herney came out in response to some of the comments made by Mike Tolbert, former player, Panthers player, who said that the Panthers have mismanaged Cam Newton's injury for years. I floated the theory, and I stick by it. If Mike Tolbert is accurate, and if he is, if he, what he is saying is true, that would suddenly lend a lot of credence to Cam Newton's continuing injuries being the reason he's not signed. And if that was to be the case, I would take serious issue with the Panthers. Marty Herney came out and said, nope, it was just timing. It was just medical. It is what it is. Had nothing to do with anything else. I got to tell you, the way he framed it, the way he phrased it, I know I'm being a bit pedantic about it, but I think it kind of lends some level of credibility to what Mike Tolbert said about Cam Newton's injuries. And I think if, again, that turns out to be the case, then there's no question to me that Cam Newton would be right in his, shall we say, ill will towards the Carolina Panthers. And we are asking for your stories today. What is the coolest sports experience that you have? I'm not talking about a game that you watched. I am talking about a moment that happened to you. It happened about you. It was around you. It was all about you in that moment. I shared one, which was I had the opportunity to catch a couple of passes from Drew Brees. Tim got to stand face-to-face with Brent Musburger, one of the voices of college football. I've got a handful more, one involving Tim Tebow and Kirk Herbstreit. I've got one involving Gary Player. I've got one involving the New Age Outlaws of D-Generation X for you old school wrestling fans like me. And a couple more. Another one with Roy Jones involved. So I've got plenty more, and I'll share them throughout the day. But I want your stories. I want your experiences. What's the coolest sports experience that has happened to you? Rick is on the line with a story to share with us. Rick, thanks for calling into the Rob Brown Show. Great to have you, pal.
Thank you, Rob. I love your show. Okay?
Thank you, Rick. Very kind of you.
Great. It's great. I run a limousine service. I own 4 or 5 limousines, and that's what I do. I take people out. I've got three people to drive, and I've done that since 1998. 2001, I got a call from my buddy. He runs WFOX in Charlotte. They do the John Boy and Billy show.
Yep.
And he said, do you want to play some golf? And I said, I'm ready. Anytime for golf. So I drive up to Charlotte. We call him a Smarty Marty, the one-man party, okay? He's the executive director of the John Boy and Billy Show. So I go. He said, we're going to North Carolina. We're going up, trying to remember the name, it's Pinehurst number 2. He said, we're going to Pinehurst number 2. We've had a couple of people in doing spots for us. You know, they do spot overs, I guess, or whatever. He said, we're going to go play golf. We're going to have a foursome. I said, okay. Didn't know who it was. He wouldn't tell me. Got up to the course. It was Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan.
Nice.
And we played golf for the day. I sat with Smarty Marty and Michael Jordan sat with Charles, but I got to sit with Charles on the back nine and talk crap. So it was wonderful. I got to know Michael Jordan. I actually spoke to him 4 or 5 times since then. It was great. And he signed a baseball I had in the car. I do a little baseball too back then. And he signed a baseball with him and Charles Barkley.
That is awesome. So let me ask you then, if you don't mind, met Mike, having had conversation with Mike, go ahead.
We had jokes all day. They smoked cigars. I heard cussing. Like Michael Jordan never cusses. They were gambling. I didn't gamble. I told him I couldn't afford it. They were playing $500 a hole.
So
I couldn't afford that at the time. So we
Did he try to talk you into playing a hole?
He tried, but I couldn't. Now, I did play closest to the pin every time on the par 3. That was $100. So I lost a couple of hundred to him, but he is actually a good golfer. Charles Barkley sucked. But Michael Jordan shot an 81 that day, and he can play.
So let me ask you this. Now that you kind of got to see the real side of Mike Jordan.
I did.
What was your take on The Last Dance and the way that people are talking about Michael Jordan? You guys aren't necessarily best friends, but
never
you kind of got to see a personal side. You
never
haven't watched it.
No, I hadn't watched it.
How have you not watched it, Ricky?
I don't know. I just hadn't watched it. But he is a cut-up. He's totally opposite of what I've seen on the court. He was a great guy. Took pictures with us. I still have a picture. Blew it up. I had to blow it up, put it in
obviously
my living room.
I was going to say, frame it but and put it over the fireplace.
Oh, Lord, I wish I could have, but I put it in my bedroom.
Well, that's for some reason
great,
better and worse.
But let me tell you. They even had a beer cart behind the golf carts that we had, and a person sitting, I don't know if it was a makeup artist or what, had two girls on the cart behind us. I got a couple of beers. I'm not a big drinker, but I got a couple of beers, but they were drinking pretty heavily.
Yeah, well, that I believe entirely. No shock to me there. Rick, that is an awesome story, man. Congratulations on that experience.
It was a great time.
Yeah, sounds like it. Sounds like it. Rick, I appreciate the call, man. Please keep checking in with the show anytime. I don't even know. How do you show up to the first tee and they're like, yeah, here's your playing partners, Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to beat. That's going to be tough to beat. That is an amazing story.
I got to tell you, I'm not going to lie. I came into this thinking, okay, caught passes from Drew Brees, took a boxing lesson from Roy Jones Jr., got run over by a golf cart and got to ride a hole with Gary Player. I have sat and talked college football with Tim Tebow and Kirk Herbstreit. I've got some killer stories. I'm like distant second place now. Distant second place to what Rick just brought to the table. I don't even know how to compete with that. I really don't. So, once your stories, once your moments, what do you have for us, that moment, that sports experience? I'm not talking a game you watch, but something. Here, I'll give you one more. I'll tell you about the second favorite story I have which was a Roy Jones Jr. story, okay? I told you I worked for Roy. Well, before his fight with Bernard, about 8 weeks out from his fight with Bernard, I got a call from Roy's manager, who was the same guy that set up the Saints practice, and he asked if I wanted to go grab a drink. Roy had a thing where the night before he went into training camp, Roy would go out to a bar and have a couple of drinks with his buddies. Nothing crazy, but he'd go out and he'd have a couple of drinks with his buddy. So McGee, who is his guy, says, do you want to come out and meet us for a drink? I said, yeah, of course. Like, do I want to go to the bar with Roy Jones Jr.? Yeah, like all of the time, right? Yeah,
like you're going to say now.
Right.
Pass. No.
So I meet Roy at this little bar in a city called Navarre, which is halfway between Destin and Pensacola, for those of you that know the Panhandle area. And it's this little dive bar, and Roy has the far side of the bar against the wall. They've roped it off for just Roy and his camp. So it's Roy, his manager, his dad, who was his trainer, a couple of the younger guys in his stable that are, you know, sparring partners, and me. And let's just say your boy stuck out a little bit, okay? Your boy stuck out a little bit, if you get my drift. So I'm standing there, and I am 24, 5 at the time. I'm feeling myself, if you know what I mean. I'm hanging out with a bunch of boxers that, you know, there's a combination of Jägermeister and testosterone flowing around the bar. I'll put it that way. So I walk up to the bar to grab myself a drink, and at the bar is a attractive young lady. And as the great Michael Scott once said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Quote Wayne Gretzky, quote Michael Scott. That right there is why I don't pick up women at bars. It just doesn't work. So I walk over to the bar, and I decide, all right, let's give it a shot. Worst case scenario, I can say, well, you know, I got VIP in the bar. Would you like to go over there and hang out in VIP? I think that's a win, right? So I walk over there. I say hello, and she says hello, and she's very polite. Well, right after we get through the initial pleasantries, up walks a guy slightly larger than me. Yo, I go at 25, 6'3", 220 in pretty good shape, right? I was an athlete. Not like big, but I'm in pretty good shape. This guy walks up behind me, and typically, if a guy's talking to your girl, the first opportunity is, hey, man, she's with me.
And, yeah, back off.
And 90% of dudes are going to be like, oh, man, my bad. No worries, you know? The other 10% are going to cause problems. Second opportunity is, hey, man, look, I need you to step back, okay? Third opportunity is you can step back or we can step outside at your call, all right? That's the protocol, right? This guy, no, grabs me by the shoulder and spins me around and gets in my face. Why are you talking to my girl? I was like, hey, man, I didn't know she was here with him. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, not a fighter, right? Like, I didn't know she was here with anybody. Well, she's here with me. You can leave or I can make you leave. I'm like, oh, hell. Because this dude is also a large guy. Like, it wasn't one of those things where I could be like, yeah, I'll take my shot. You know what I mean? No, like, this guy would have killed me. And then, from right behind me, over my left shoulder, steps the greatest pound-for-pound fighter of all time, Roy Jones Jr., who looks at the dude and goes, hey, you can get it robbed, but you're going to go through me to do it. And this dude realized exactly who Roy Jones Jr. was and promptly left. Now, the only cooler way that story works is if the girl goes home with me, but no, she left with him. And I'm like, yeah, obviously, I'm not expecting the dude to throw hands with the greatest pound-for-pounder of all time. But my man, Roy Jones Jr., had my back in what did not turn into a bar fight because Roy Jones Jr. had my back. That was one of my favorite moments of all time. Well, we had a caller, but I see they dropped off. If you want to give us a buzz back, I'll move you to the front of the line. We do have to take a break when we come back here in just a minute. Do we have replacement referees on the way? The answer, maybe. Maybe, based on some developments in the National Football League. I'll tell you those. I've also got a bunch of stories to run through that we've gotten on Twitter as well. My name is Rob. DJ Tim's in the house scratching the ones and twos. It's the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Still looking for your best sports experiences. I've got a couple of things we need to get into, but we do have some folks lined up on the phone lines that want to tell their story. I'm looking for the best story so far. I've got a bunch of them. Here's some that have rolled in on Twitter over the past few minutes. Greg in Alabama at GB Dawkins said, "My dad got drunk with Kenny Stabler and I got to watch. I was 8 years old and in Lefty's bar, but the 70s were wild in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Kenny the Snake Stabler." I would love to get that one. Greg was also there. I used to cover the Senior Bowl live for my old station. And I got to interview, and it's one of my favorite quotes of all time. I got to interview Jerry Glanville. Remember Jerry Glanville, the old coach of the Raiders back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
So Jerry Glanville was there, and I got him on my show, and I got to interview Jerry Glanville, and it was one of the wildest interviews I've ever done. But he looked us dead in the eyes at one point, because I asked him about the transition for some of these college seniors moving on to the NFL. What is it like to show up that first day as a rookie and talk to your head coach and get involved? And Jerry Glanville looked forward, and he looks me dead in the eyes through those glasses he wears. And he said, "I'll tell you what I used to tell the players." Jerry Glanville was famous because for years, he always left tickets to every home game that he coached in for Elvis Presley. Just in case Elvis happened to still be alive and showed up, and he made it known there were always two tickets for every home game left at the will call for Elvis Presley. He looked in the face of me and Greg, who was co-hosting my show with me that day. He looks me in the face and he says, "Either you is Elvis or you ain't," which just right. It just, that was, he took carpe diem and turned it into the greatest quote I've ever heard. "Either you is Elvis or you ain't." What a great line, right? At J.R. Lind writes in and said, "Mario Andretti once called me a tall son of a bee." I would love that. I got to go fishing with Al Unser and Al Unser Jr. one time. A couple of open wheel guys. That was awesome. Christopher Martell, who is verified on Twitter. Is Christopher Martell? I have to look up who Christopher Martell is. He writes and says, "I got to wear a Google Glass and interview players and coaches with it. Peter LaViolette told me I looked like a secret agent." That's hilarious. A lad named Brad on Twitter says, "Meeting Reggie White when I was 8. Largest hands I've ever seen in person." Were you the kid in that Coke commercial? You're not old enough to get that joke, are you, Tim?
No.
There was a commercial with this little kid after a game where Reggie White's walking in the tunnel and he takes a Coke from the kid and he walks right past and the kid looks all disappointed, like bummed out. And then they turn around. Reggie White turns around and he's like, "Hey, kid," and he throws him his game-worn jersey, right? And it's like, oh, mm-hmm. He isn't a jerk. At ATVS Pozor says, "I played catch with Cal Ripken Jr." Then he said, "Not really my story, but my favorite is my best friend. He had the dad of one of the kids on the other hockey team come into the locker room to tell him how awesome of a game he had. That dad was Johnny Unitas." That's a pretty solid one.
Yeah, that's a real solid one.
At Journo, at Mr. Dockery _, in 1985, I got to play a catch with my hero Dale Murphy and some other Braves in the outfield at Fulton County Stadium before a game against the Dodgers. The same day, my dad stood behind the Dodger dugout and talked to Vin Scully for 15 minutes about life.
That is a day.
That is a big day. Jacob Smith says, in my first game with my adopted brother, Troy Glaus, his favorite Brave at the time, hit a walk-off home run against the Royals after the Braves survived Zach Greinke for 7 innings.
I remember that game, actually. Yeah.
Nice. At Jordy on the Radio said, I interviewed Evander Holyfield when he held a boxing clinic in 2017. That's a pretty good one as well.
Some really good ones.
We're getting some good stories. I like it. Let's get Keegan in here real quick. He's got a story, a P1 listener of the show. Keegan, what's up, big dog? Welcome in. Glad to have you off the Discord and on the show.
Glad to be here. I'm a little intimidated at everybody's stories because they're pretty incredible. So my story, you may be familiar, 2009, the Saints went to the Super Bowl.
I vaguely remember the Super Bowl. I do not remember much else after the Super Bowl. I'll put it that way.
I am in the same boat as you, which is where this story kind of comes in. I was living in New Orleans at the time, and so I was at Champion Square, which for those who don't know is like the area outside of the Superdome. You can kind of – they play games on the big screen there. It was just a big party atmosphere. Well, I was hanging out there watching the Super Bowl, and in front of me, it was either Loyola cheerleaders or Tulane cheerleaders. Again, everything's kind of fuzzy. All I know is that there were four cheerleaders, and when the Saints won the Super Bowl – they turned around, and each one of them gave me a huge kiss. And so at me, being barely 21 at the time, just freaking out, had the best day of my life. And so technically it's a sports story. It's not anyone famous, but it's an incredible sports story for me.
I'm counting it. I'm counting it, Keegan. Big day wins all around, man. I love it. Good call, brother. Good to talk to you, Keegan. I appreciate it. Great to have you on the air. Let's roll on with the phone lines. We do not. I'm not sure. Caller, you're up next. Who's this? Caller, you're on. Oh no, are we there? Caller, you're on the air. Who's this? Nope. All right, we'll drop that. We'll come back to you. We've had a couple of people who have had to drop off. If you want to call back, you're welcome to. By the way, text on 71307. Got this text. ESPN. That was Mean Joe Green, not Reggie White. Yeah, my bad. I'm a dummy. I said Tim's not old enough to understand that reference. Turns out I didn't remember it either. But yes, that was the point of that story. It's just that moment where a kid gets to connect with one of their all-time athletes. That's always a special moment for every kid. We got a couple of other callers. We'll get them plugged up here in just a second. But we are looking for your best sports stories, your best sports experiences. I'm not talking a game you saw. I'm talking about that moment that was about you, that something happened to you. Audi is on the show next. You're up. Welcome in. Great to have you. Thanks for checking in. Do we have the phone line? There we go. Go ahead, big guy. We got you now.
To tell you.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. There's two things I wanted to tell you. You talked about it was not who did you say?
I said it was Reggie White. It was Mean Joe Green. Yeah. Yep. That's right.
Yeah. So, but cool. Listen, I went to a game one time, the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants, right, with a buddy of mine. He was the head referee for the replay referees, right? And he took me to a game. I took my brother with me because he was a Dallas fan. I'm a big Giants fan. And we got to Dallas. We were going to the game on the bus with the referees. Coolest thing ever. When we were getting off the bus, there was a guy in front, and my buddy told me that he was a bigwig in the NFL. And so he turned to me and he said, hey, man, could you do me a favor? Take this pass and give it to that gray-haired gentleman standing outside the bus. And I said, sure, no problem. And he pointed to a guy, went out there, went to the guy. He said, what are you talking about? What pass? I'm not supposed to have any pass. So I turned around, looked at the bus, and the bus started going underneath the stadium. One of the guys out there looked at me and said, sir, with that pass, you can go right up underneath. You can walk on the field. And I just looked around and said, what? And so nobody to give the pass with. Everybody encouraged me, the other people that were out there, hey, man, go ahead. So I took the pass, went on the field. I'm noticing that everybody has passes that say, you know, pregame only. Mine did not. You know, my pass was for the whole thing. Luckily, I was wearing the New York Giants jersey, not a jersey, but a polo shirt that I just bought. And so it was the same one that the coaches were wearing. The only difference that I had on jeans and they had on khakis. But I ended up, the game started, I'm still on the field. The whole game, I am on the field, standing next to Michelle Tafoya, and just amazing experience. The whole game, I was on TV running down the sideline when Eli threw a pass to Victor Cruz. I'm running next to him, running down the field. People saw me on TV. This was, 2013, right after we won the Super Bowl?
Okay.
It was the first game of the year, Giants playing Dallas. I was actually had the opportunity to stay on the sideline the whole game. Incredible experience.
That is awesome, dude. That is one. And to just kind of fall into that moment where you end up with a pass that lets you be there. Man, sometimes the sports stars just align, and that was a moment. Killer story, man. That's awesome.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for checking in with us. Thank you very much. 844-GSP, ESPN, looking for your favorite sports moment. Got this one on the text line at ESPN. David Pearson gave me some Chattanooga chew when I was, let's just say, young, at his shop was in our neighborhood. It was the first time I had chew. So as you can imagine, I swallowed instead of spit and then wound up puking on the number 21 car. That is hilarious. Oh, man. My guy is standing next to a three-time Grand National Series champion and the 76 Daytona 500 winner and pukes on his car.
That's going to be a story for the grandkids one day.
I got to say, I thought Ricky playing golf with Mike and Chuck was going to be tough to beat, but my man threw up on a Daytona 500 winner's car. Oh, God, that's hysterical. That's a good one. Oh, man. Text me 71307. Tweet me your story at the Rob Brown Show or check in on the air 844-477-3776. Why is that story so funny? That story is so good. He handed me chew when I was, let's just say, young, and I wound up puking on the number 21 car. David Pearson's from Spartanburg, and a 76 Daytona winner, three-time Grand National champion. That is hilarious. I don't know why that's so damn funny. All right, 844-GSP, ESPN, if you want to check in and give me your sports experience. I'll give you another one. I forgot that my mom just clued me in on. Then we'll take a real quick break. I went to this was going to be the 96 Sugar Bowl national championship game, Florida State versus Florida. And ooh. So my brother's a big Florida Gator fan. So we went to go see the national championship game. And so, my old man who like me, my old man was like, I'm not a materialist. I believe in experiences. We do stuff, right? I don't spend money on stuff. I spend money on experiences. Got us tickets in a hotel room to go see the 96 title game, Florida State. And so we get to the hotel, and as we get into the elevator, we go up. There's this other guy, big, tall, black guy, gets in the elevator with us. He gets off on the same floor as us, and he's walking down, and he goes into his room. And my dad turns, and he says, do you know who that is? And I'm like, nah, I don't. He goes, that's Lynn Swan, old Pittsburgh Steeler wide receiver, right? That's Lynn Swan. And I'm 11 at the time, so I know of Lynn Swan, but I don't really know Lynn Swan. So he starts telling me stories about Lynn Swan from the old Steelers days back in the day. A handful of minutes later, he's like, we're going to our hotel room, which is on the same floor as Lynn Swan. My old man hands me the notepad from the hotel, and he goes, go down there, knock on the door. I'm not knocking on Lynn Swan's door. I'm 11 years old. He's like, go down, take your younger brother. My brother was 8 at the time. Go down there, knock on Lynn Swan's door, ask him for an autograph. I'm like, I mean, all right, I guess,
bold,
right?
But okay.
Yeah. So we go down the hallway, we knock on the door he went into, and who opens the door? Lynn freaking Swan. I'm like, Mr. Swan, I'm sorry to bother you. I'm 11. I'm sorry to bother you. Can I have your autograph? He's like, yeah, and I hand him a notepad, but I don't have a pen because I'm an idiot. My dad didn't think it through because I think my dad was just more excited about that than he was me getting the autograph. Mm-hmm. Was more, this is my in for my kid to meet Lynn Swan, right? So I don't have a pen. He goes, cool, man. Come on in for a second. I'll get a pen. Lynn Swan invites me and my younger brother, 11 and 8 years old, into his hotel room. He goes down there. He grabs a pen from the same spot. He signs my notepad. He signs my brother's notepad. So we both get a Lynn Swan autograph. And he goes, you guys here for the game? Said, yeah. He talked to us for a minute. Who do you think is going to win? Oh, Florida State's going to win. Florida's going to win. We talked to him for a minute. And he goes, all right, guys, we'll have a good time. Enjoy the game. And he sends us on our way. Like, awesome. So then, I don't know, a couple of hours later, we get in the elevator to go down because we're going to, you know, go get dinner or whatever. And right before we get in, we hear, hold the elevator. It's Lynn Swan. Gets back on the elevator, walks in. He's like, Rob, Sean, how's it going, guys? He knows me. Like, of course he knows you. He met you an hour and a half ago, right? But, like, it was just that cool moment. He gets out of the elevator. We all gone away. Never saw him again. But Lynn Swan turned out to be one of the nicest, coolest dudes that I have met in my entire career.
And you got to hang out in his hotel room for
a little bit. Got to hang in for about 10 minutes and just talk football with him. It was phenomenal. All right, looking for your stories, your greatest sports experiences. Text line at 713-07 at ESPN. My brother got to race Sammy Watkins when he was doing community service for getting caught smoking. What is going on the text line today? Raced him at Corey Burns Field in Taylor, South Carolina. That's awesome.
I know exactly where that is.
So your brother got smoked two ways that weekend. Quick break. Back after this, it's the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Oh, some of these stories are great, man. Some of these stories are great. Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show is on the radio. Rob, Tim, and you here on ESPN Upstate. What one haven't I told yet? Okay, so here's a couple more. So when I was back in Destin, I was a member of the All Sports Association, which is a philanthropic all-men's group that raises money for youth sports in the area. And every year we have a huge banquet. I'm talking like 2,200 people come to this banquet. And every year we have huge headliners. We've had Bobby Bowden. We've had Archie Manning. We've had Peyton Manning. We've had everybody who's a name we've had come through. So 2 years that I was in there, I was working for either the TV news or public relations for the county, I was in charge of our representation in the press. And so for 2 years, when we had our big name, our keynote speaker come in, basically, my job was to shadow them the entire time that they were in Destin and just make sure that in order to talk to the media, they met with somebody. So I set up appointments and that kind of stuff. So as I'm going through, one of the years that we had come down, Kirk Herbstreit, another year we had Tim Tebow come down. So in both of those events, basically from the moment they arrived at the airport to the moment that they arrived at the airport to leave, I was stationed shadowed alongside these guys. I'd meet them at their hotel in the morning. I'd hang out with them throughout the day, organize their press activities, walk them around, Destin, whatever. So I got to spend more than my fair share of minutes with both Kirk Herbstreit and Tim Tebow and just talk football and life with them. Herbstreit, it turns out, I disliked Herbstreit for so many years, and I didn't really know why. I know why now. It's just because all the women swoon over Herbstreit, and he's just that guy. You know, he's just the quintessential high school quarterback. So I always assumed, well, this guy must obviously also be a jerk and a bully. Because you get to be a good athlete, really good looking, and nice. But you have to pick two of the three, right? You can't have all three qualities. If you're a good looking, super athlete, you have to be a jerk. If you're a good looking subpar athlete, you can be nice. And if you're a subpar athlete who's really good looking, you're nice along. You got to pick two of those three. I always assume Herbstreit was a jerk. One of the nicest guys I've ever been around. Did not turn down a single question, picture, autograph request, or interview request the entire time he was with us. Tebow, when Tebow was in college, I'm not going to lie to you, didn't like Tim Tebow because he was cheesy and corny. And I was like, this guy's such a fraud, right? He can't be that guy. He's such a freaking fraud. At one point during I want to say Florida-Georgia game, when old Uncle Vern Lundquist was still on the call, him and Gary Danielson got to talking about Tim Tebow. And Tebow said, or Gary Danielson talking about Tim Tebow said, if you spend, I was on the radio at this point, my co-host went off on this. He said, if you spend 10 minutes with Tim Tebow, your life will be better for it. And I thought, I'm going to hurl over that comment. How freaking ridiculous. Okay? Then I met Tim Tebow. And everything Gary Danielson said was accurate. Now, Tim Tebow and I disagree on a lot. Politically, in terms of philosophy of life, disagree on a lot. One of the single most incredible individuals I've ever gotten to spend time talking to. He was amazing. There's not a negative bone in that cat's body. Everything about him, dislike it or like it, is sincere and genuine, and he's upfront and honest about it, but he absolutely, and this was the best part, he absolutely does not turn away from you if you disagree on something. He will sit there, no matter how vehemently or how important that is, he will look at you and go, you're still a good human being, and I'm still glad to have had this opportunity. Just a phenomenal guy. An incredible dude. So those are two of my better ones. I've got plenty more, but my favorite three. I'll give you my favorite three nutshell version. And still want yours, 844-GSP-ESPN. What's your favorite sports experience? That moment that happened to you. My favorite three real quick. About 6 years ago, about 9 years ago, I got called by a guy that used to run a small independent wrestling organization back down in the Florida Panhandle. And he called me 1 year and he goes, hey, man, look, I need a ring announcer. Do you want to be my ring announcer? Marty Jannetty, who used to be half of the Rockers with Shawn Michaels before Shawn Michaels super kicked him through a window. Marty Jannetty is going to be there and he's going to be our headliner. Do you want to be a ring announcer? Yeah, I want to announce Marty Jannetty to the ring. Are you kidding me? Of course I do. Well, the guy organizing it was also a wrestler and he was a heel. He was a bad guy. He was fighting Jannetty. Well, that year he came out and his manager, who was the other ring announcer, you know, in the show, grabbed the mic out of my hand, pushed me out of the ring, bullied me a little bit, yada, yada, yada. Second year, he called me back the next year and he goes, hey, do you want to come down? Matt Hardy is going to be the wrestler this year. Do you want to be the ring announcer again? Do I want to ring announce Matt Hardy to the ring? Uh-huh. Yeah, I do. So I got to go ring announce Matt Hardy. Well, that year his character came out, and we got into it a little bit. So I got to cut a promo on the mic in front of this guy and go back and forth. And it ended with I got to shove him to the mat and then get out of the ring before he beat me up. And then Matt Hardy came out to wrestle him. So third year he calls me back and he goes, hey man, I got something for you to get involved with today. Are you in? Yes, I'm in. What do I need to do? He goes, here's what we're going to do. This year we have the New Age Outlaws. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, D-Generation Outs proudly presents your 7-time tag team champions of the world, the badass Billy Gunn, the road dog Jesse James, the New Age Outlaw. Like, if you were a kid my age, you heard that for years because they were the guys. He goes, but here's the thing. We're going to have a tag match. Do you want to be involved in the tag match? You will be tag teaming with the New Age Outlaws. Dude, these are one of the best tag teams of all time in professional wrestling. Yes, I would love to tag with the New Age Outlaws. So I got a tag team with the New Age Outlaws. I got to go in. I got to do a Hogan leg drop onto the big bad guy. And I got to pin him with the New Age Outlaws counting my 1-2-3 count. I am officially a member of the New Age Outlaws and am 1-0 in professional wrestling. I'm basically Bill Goldberg volume 2.0. Okay, who's next? That's all I'm saying. I have told my other one on the air before, which is I got run over by Gary Player in a golf cart. So I won't tell that whole story again. Suffice to say, Gary Player ran over me with a golf cart one time. It was ridiculous. We'll take a break here. When we come back, I will tell you my number one best sports experience of all time. Happened at an Army-Navy game in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. When we come back, I'll tell you that story. I got time to get a few more phone calls in at 844-GSP-ESPN. If you want to share your story, tweet them to me at The Rob Brown Show. text them at 71307. And our Discord channel is open as well. If you'd like to join our Discord server, you can do it. Shoot me a text to 71307 that says ESPN password. I'll send you the link. And remember, we are still looking for nominees in our Senior Sports Spotlight. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Mark has got our next winner. You're going to hear their story on Offsides with Mark Ryan. And you'll hear those one-minute vignettes throughout the week about the outstanding high school seniors from our area that have deservedly been nominated for our Senior Sports Spotlight. I got a profile for you coming up in the next hour. DJ Tim, Rob Brown, you, the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate. Favorite sports experiences in your lifetime? Looking for them at 844-GSP-ESPN. Text them to 71307. I'll give you this one. This is my favorite one. And then in the next hour, we'll get back to kind of talking about sports. My favorite one. So when I was doing radio, I was just down the road from Pensacola Naval Air Station. And for about 4 years in a row, I got asked to go represent Pensacola NAS, which is the home of the Blue Angels. To go represent PNAS and the Blue Angels at the Army-Navy game, which got played a couple of years in Philly, a couple of years in D.C. So 1 year I got to go, and I get onto the field, and just before the game they announced that the President of the United States, President Barack Obama, would be attending the game. Now, traditionally when the presidents attend the game, they show up, they go right to their section, they sit with one half the cadets and one half the midshipmen. We're on the field. I got field access to the Army-Navy games, and it is, in my opinion, it is the best rivalry in college football. All right, there's better games, but it is the best rivalry game with all the pomp and circumstance and pageantry and tradition that goes into it. One of the best games. I got permission to go down on the field for all those games. So one game, I'm on the field after the march on, and if you don't watch the march on, you're missing out. Got to go down on the field, and as I'm standing there, about 30 minutes before kickoff, out of the tunnel come Secret Service guys, all in black suits, and they kind of start pushing people off to the side away from the entrance. And out of the tunnel, just a couple of minutes later, comes President Barack Obama. President of the United States walks out on the field, and instead of walking right to midfield, he starts walking around the outside of the stadium, shaking hands with everybody around. I'm standing against the wall, not expecting it to happen. The president walks right up to me. He leans over, he sticks his hands out, and he takes a handshake. And he says, "It's good to meet you, son. Enjoy the game." And walks off.
Yeah, you got a presidential handshake.
I got a presidential handshake from a seated president because I was on the field at Army-Navy game. I have had some great stories in my life, and I'm very, very fortunate and lucky for that to have happened. That moment was the highlight of my sports broadcasting career. The moment I got a presidential handshake from a seated president of the United States of America at America's college football game, it was incredible. More stories to come. When we come back, we'll get into that discussion about the replacement refs possibly coming back to the NFL. Hooray. So exciting. Tim, Rob, and you on the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.